Tvayi samstite gadaya shirna shirshani. Asmad bhujachutaya ye chatubhyam. Balim haran vishayo ye chadeva. Svayam sarve nabhavishyantya mula. Tvayi samstite gadaya shirna shirshani. Asmad bhujat yutaya ye chatubhya. Valim harantiya vishayo ye chadeva. Svayam sarve nabhavishyantya mula.
When you,
samstite,
are killed,
Godaya,
by the mace,
Shirna,
smashed,
Shirshani,
skull,
Asmad Bhuja,
from my hand,
Chyutaya,
released,
Ye,
those who,
Cha,
and
Tubhyam,
to you,
Balim,
presentations,
Haranti,
offer,
Rishayaha,
sages,
Ye,
those who,
Cha,
and
Deva,
demigods,
Swayam,
automatically,
Sarve,
all,
Na,
not,
Bhavishyanti,
will exist,
Amula,
without roots.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
The demon continued, when you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice in devotional service will also automatically cease to exist, like trees without roots.
Purport. Demons are very much disturbed when devotees worship the Lord in the prescribed ways recommended in the scriptures. In the Vedic scriptures, the neophyte devotees are advised to engage in 9 kinds of devotional service, such as to hear and chant the holy name of God, to remember Him always, chant on beads, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
To worship the Lord in the form of His deity incarnation in the temples, and to engage in various activities of Krishna consciousness to increase the number of godly persons for perfect peace in the world. Demons do not like such activity. They are always envious of God and His devotees. Their propaganda, not to worship in the temple or church, but simply to make material advancement for satisfaction of the senses, is always current. The demon Hiranyaksha, upon seeing the Lord face to face, wanted to make a permanent solution by killing the personality of Godhead with His powerful mace. The example of an uprooted tree mentioned here by the demon is very significant. Devotees accept that God is the root of everything. Their example is just as the stomach is the source of energy for all the limbs of the body, God is the original source of all energy manifested in the material and spiritual worlds. Therefore, as supplying food to the stomach is the process to satisfy all the limbs of the body, Krishna consciousness or developing love of Krishna is the sublime method for satisfying the source of all happiness. The demon wants to uproot this source because if the root, God, were to be checked, the activities of the Lord and the devotees would automatically stop. The demon would be very much satisfied by such a situation in society. Demons are always anxious to have a godless society for their sense gratification. According to Sridhar Swami, this verse means that when the demon would be deprived of his mace by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only the neophyte devotees, but also the ancient, sagacious devotees of the Lord would be very much satisfied. It's customary, the principle of chivalry, that the opponents confront one another before fighting. This is noble. This is manifestation of someone who is properly situated in the mode of passion. He doesn't just wreak destruction, but he does it in a noble way. He kills, but he kills in a chivalrous way. So he confronts his opponent verbally. You know, not that you attack people, you attack innocent people, drop bombs on their heads, women and children, or you attack some other soldier behind his back. No, you confront him face to face. You stand. Get ready to either kill me or be killed. And then, customarily, some insults are exchanged. And the fighters, they may not be demons, they may be devotees. They show their how angry they are and how ready they are to fight by expressing their contempt of each other. Unfortunately, Hiranyaksha is not extremely intelligent. His logic is not very solid. He's arguing here that when Vishnu is dead, then all the demigods and all the saintly persons will disappear. All the principles of religion will be wiped off the face of the earth. All I have to do is smash you on the head with my club. And I'm very powerful, I can smash you and kill you. So there's several errors in that argument. How foolish it is for him to think that someone can kill God. God cannot be killed. Even Jiva cannot be killed. You may destroy the material body that a particular Jiva may possess. The body is fallible, very fallible. It just takes, you know, one well-aimed arrow shot at a marma. Points of the body where even the touch of an arrow will kill you. Even touch of a finger. The expert fighters in karate and other arts, they know how to just touch you in the ear or someplace and kill you. You know, point in the ear, squeeze it, and the person's dead. That's marma point. So, it's not difficult. And if you don't know that, then you can be, you're just very strong and you know how to smash someone on the head with a club, that's good enough to kill him usually. Not hard to kill someone's body. Not difficult. Yeah. Or, you know, for people who have no strength and no skill, just give them a gun with bullets in it. And he can point it at someone and pull the trigger. Very easy. Very easy to kill a person, anybody. If you've got the gun and he doesn't have a gun, then you can easily kill him. Yeah, that's how warfare has changed in the modern age. You can take foolish, untrained soldiers who have no strength and no skill and just give them guns and they can shoot at each other. Equalize. The gun is the great equalizer. Yeah. You don't have to be a kshatriya, a warrior, great, skillful, powerful. You just
have a gun with bullets in it. So it's easy to kill the body, but you can't kill the soul. The person is not killed. And God is a special person. His body is also spiritual. Abhinatvat nama namino. The person and the body, or the name and the person, are the same when it comes to God. There's no way you can kill God. You can't even touch his body. You can't even make him bleed, unless he wants to pretend to bleed. For Bhishma Dev, he bled. Krishna shed blood. He looked like he had blood all over his body in response to the arrows of Bhishma Dev, because those arrows were shot with love. And Krishna accepted them as a better offering than the flowers offered in puja. Yeah. And he responded, yes, I like this offering very much, so let me become bloody. Kshatata aplutata atatayano me. Bhishma Dev is remembering at the moment of his death in ecstasy. Mama vishita sharaya vishiryamano tvachi vilasat tvachi stu Krishna atma. May Krishna stand in front of me at this moment. And let me remember, he's not bloody. Now he's, you know, the battle is over. He's already wiped up the blood. There was no injury. Somehow, he didn't really get hurt. He's just pretending to bleed. But anyway, I remember how I shot Krishna with my mama vishita sharaya vibidyu. I cut his skin with my arrows. Kshatata abluta. He was immersed in blood all over his body. Oh, how ecstatic that memory is, Bhishma Dev is thinking. So, this is special ecstasy Raudra rasa. The secondary rasa of fearsomeness. The warriors are fighting each other in battle, trying to kill one another. You know, and if the warrior doesn't shed blood, then he's ashamed to go home from the battle, if he doesn't bleed on the battlefield. So Krishna bled in exchange for the love of Bhishma Dev. But otherwise, nobody else can do that. Just like nobody could capture Krishna but Mother Yashoda. And nobody can make Krishna bleed except for Bhishma Dev. So Hiranyaksha is not going to get that chance. He won't be able to bash in Krishna's head with his club. He thinks he can do it to anybody. He doesn't understand. This is somebody different. Foolish argument. And then he thinks if Krishna was dead, then everything would disappear. Okay, that actually, if Krishna was gone, then everything would disappear. That part of the argument we could accept. But the premise, the first premise, is impossible. Krishna will never, no one will ever defeat Krishna. All the greatest demons in history have tried it. Hiranyaksha, and then his brother, a more powerful demon, will try it again to destroy Vishnu. He won't be able to do it. Although he's, in his foolishness, he is expressing some philosophical truth. There's some element of truth in what he's saying. He's reminding us that Krishna is the root of all existence. Bhuvanadrumaya. It's Lord Brahma calls him Bhuvanadruma. You are the tree of the universe, of all the worlds. It's like that you're everything is your body, and that body is like a tree. It has its branches, it has its leaves, and different parts. And you are the tree. And you manifest your personal feature, that is the root of that tree. If we worship Bhagawan, if we worship the Supreme Lord in his personal feature, with personal devotion, then we are watering the root of the tree. Those who cannot understand the value of simply dedicating everything to the devotional service of the Lord, they find some other important endeavor to focus their life upon. So many pious persons, they want to perform Vedic sacrifice, and they're worshipping in the sacrifice different deities, different gods, Indra,
Soma, Varuna, and many other devatas. These are like the different branches of the tree. Indra is very much often described to be the arms of Krishna. And the other demigods are the secondary arms. Like a tree has many arms, shakas, hundreds of arms. So Indra is the main arm. And the other devatas, the powerful demigods who control the universe, rulers of the world, there are these other branches. And the performers of karma kanda, performers of sacrifice, they're trying to pour the water on the branches. Of course we do this. You know, we go to a plant and pour water all over it. You know, we're thinking this is good. It's okay. I mean, the leaves are happy to get a little water. But it's much more effective to put your water in the root. Pour the water into the root, onto the ground that goes into the root, rather than just sprinkle all over the tree. The water that is put into the leaves, it goes to the root, but not directly and not effectively. The devotion is not there. When you approach a demigod, usually it's with material desires. Enough people approach Krishna with material desires. They're coming and doing Giriraj Pratikrama for some material purpose. They heard it's good for their business, or they can get a son if they do Giriraj Puja, Giriraj Pratikrama. So they do it for material purpose. They worship Krishna for material purposes. That is common enough. But we understand that real devotion to Krishna has to be ahoitiki apatiyata. Not just once a month, but all the time. And not with material motives. Ahoitiki. With no purpose. My only purpose is Krishna. Hare Krishna. You please engage me in your service. That's our prayer. Krishna, 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 Krishna. You do what you want with me. I don't have any terms, any conditions. I don't have a shopping list. You know, give me this and give me that. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Rupam Dehi. Dhanam Dehi. All this Dehi, give me this and give me that. No! I don't ask. I'm just submitting myself to you. You do what pleases you with me. I'm offering myself to you. That is pure devotion. So, unfortunately, not many devotees have that higher understanding. People have an attraction to Krishna, but they think Krishna is another thing to be used for their selfish purposes. Just like they use other people in their business to make money. They use their employees. They're giving the employees money every week, every month. Giving the employee is 3,000, 5,000 rupees. Not out of love. Oh, I have so much money. Can you take some of it, please? Would you like some more? Is 5,000 enough? Maybe I'll give you 50,000 instead. What would you like? No. The employer, unless he's unusual, at least in India, most places, the employer, not just India, the employer is only giving the money because he's trying to exploit the employee. I'm giving this man 5,000 rupees because I'm making 500,000 rupees from his work. He's sitting in the store selling 500,000 rupees worth of goods. I'm making that much profit. And I'm paying him 5,000 rupees. So I'm paying him 1% of the profit I make from his work. Good. Let me exploit him. I'd be glad to give him 5,000 rupees if I make a half a lakh from his work. So the employee has that attitude. Exploit the employees. Exploit your wife and children, and vice versa. The wife exploits the husband. I don't want to be out in the street with no protection. This man is bringing food. This man is bringing money. You know, let me please the man, and then I'll get a comfortable, secure life. So the woman is thinking like that. The man is thinking like, this woman is giving me sex. This woman is feeding me, cleaning my clothes. Let me pretend I love her. This is the actual motive in material life. So it's exploitation. It's not love. That's not bhakti. And most people approach the demigods in the same way.
Oh, if I do puja, I wave a stick of incense at Lakshmi Devi, my cash register will become full of money. So, if I come and do Giriraj Parikrama, so many good things will come to me. It's not that they shouldn't do the puja and shouldn't come and do the Parikrama, but these are not pure motives. It's not bhakti. Prahlad says, Nasa bhakta savai vanik. This is not a bhakta, this is a vanik. This is baniya, businessman. Yeah, trying to make a profit from the worship. That's all. They come and they build their ashrams. You know, Mandir ashram is just a hotel where you don't have to pay taxes. You know, you build your hotel, call it a mandir, get a pujari, put a deity in there, and don't pay any taxes. Yeah. It's just doing business. So mostly many people who approach Krishna are doing that, trying to do business with him, but he's smarter than they are. But they also mostly approach the demigods just to do business with them. So that's less intelligent. It is trying to water the leaves instead of the root. It's not good business even. It's not the most effective way to get what you want. You have big desires, go to the root. Make your offering to God. Why to some employee? Why not go to the employer? Go to the big man. Make your connection there. That is smarter. Akamo sarva kamo va. Moksha kama udara di. Tivena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Okay, you're not a pure devotee. But still, devotional service is good business. Whether you have all kinds of material desires, or you're a pure devotee, or you want liberation, moksha kama. If you're smart, udaradi. If you're not cripple-minded, you know, so selfish you can't even, you know, miserly. A miser is a man who's so selfish he can't even make himself happy. He cannot tolerate to spend any money, so he sits on it. He keeps it locked up in a room. He won't even put it in the bank to earn some interest. He'll just keep the money locked in the room, and he'd rather die than spend more than one rupee more than he has to spend. So he'll live miserably. He'll eat poorly. He'll dress poorly. He'll live in a bad house because he doesn't want to spend his money. Even for himself, he won't spend the money. And then he dies, you know, with a room locked full of money, and he cannot take it with him. He cannot take the money with him to hell. That's miser. Kripana. So this mentality, kripana mentality, is you're so selfish you cannot even help yourself. You cannot even make yourself happy. You cannot do even the thing that's best for your selfish interest. Even if you want to be completely selfish, go to Krishna to fulfill your selfish desires. Why go to some mundane person? Worship the demigods. Or worship some politician. Or some foolish person. Ordinary, mundane person. To get what you want, go to Krishna. Even if you have all sorts of material desires. Moksha kama. Okay, maybe you want liberation. Who do you think can give liberation? Harim vina nasritim taranti. Without the okay approval, signature of Lord Hari, nobody gets liberation. Somebody may promise you liberation, but Lord Hari has to sign the papers. He has to put his stamp on it. Without Lord Hari's approval, nobody gets liberation. No matter who says he's giving it to you. And if someone claims he has and can give liberation, some so-called sadhu, guru, yogi, but he doesn't have the approval of Lord Hari, then he's a cheater. He doesn't have the power to give liberation. He doesn't have it to give. And he doesn't have the power to give it. So even if you have the desire to get impersonal liberation, Even you want to emerge into the existence of God and lose your identity, you should go to Krishna for that. And if you have the higher intelligence, the qualification to be Krishna's devotee, then you should certainly approach Krishna. Akama. This means not to have material desires. Desire for material success or desire for liberation. How perfect do you have to be recognized as a devotee? What's the qualification, the prerequisite, minimum qualification to begin the practice of Shuddha Bhakti? This is explained by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Basically, you have to decide in your heart that the purpose of your life is to serve and satisfy Krishna, and that will make you satisfied. Or Krishna's Kaviraj explains, this is the first thing you have to have is Shraddha. And he defines what Shraddha, faith, means. Shraddha shabde vishwas kohe sudhrida nischoy. What is it? Krishna karya koile sarva karya krita hoy, something like that. Sarva karya krita hoy? Okay. Synonyms. Faith means being convinced. Not blind faith, but intelligent faith. Being convinced that if I serve Krishna, everything that I want and everything that I need will be successful, will be accomplished. That is the beginning of pure devotional service. When you realize that my life belongs to Krishna, and Krishna is the goal of my life, then you can enter pure devotional service. Your heart may still be contaminated by material desires and desire for liberation. But if you make up your mind that I want to give my life to Krishna, Krishna will help you find the way to do that. You'll make your faith strong. So that is the minimum prerequisite for practicing Shuddha Bhakti. Then you can be called a kama. Even though some kamas are there in your heart, but Krishna is helping you kick them out. It's just a matter of continue practicing sometime. Akamova. If you're fortunate by the grace of a Vaishnav or Vaishnavs to get that faith instilled in your heart and conviction that I should serve Krishna, why should I waste my life with anything else? Even just theoretically understanding that, that is the beginning of your real spiritual life. Then you are akama. So whether you're sarvakama, mokshakama, or akama, it's intelligent. If you're smart, you'll understand you should practice serving Krishna very vigorously. Tivrena, bhakti yogina. So tivra means sharp. We talk about a knife is sharp. You know, I don't say this book is sharp. It's not sharp. I can hit myself with it, but it's not sharp. It doesn't have a sharp edge, like a knife. Why do I say that bhakti is sharp, like a knife? It's not a knife, but it's like that. It cuts right through the subtle body, cuts it right off. This bhakti can destroy everything material. It can destroy your linga sharira, your subtle body, with all your material desires, your false ego. It can cut it right out, like a razor, or like some surgeon scalpel. Scalpel that a surgeon uses to cut out some cancer in the body. So bhakti is sharp like that. It removes, it ultimately destroys the subtle body. When the linga sharira is destroyed, that is mukti. Liberation. Then you have no ego, no false ego, no material desires. You only think I am Krishna's devotee. That is true ego. And you only want to serve Krishna. That is pure desire. So that means you have no more subtle body. You have no more material body. You may be walking around Jivan Mukta in a body, but it's disconnected. Just like an old coconut. Old coconut. Dried up. You shake it and it rattles. Because the malai inside is all dried out. And it's disconnected. It's not connected to the shell anymore. Like that, Jivan Mukta, you're walking around inside a material body, but you're not connected to it. You just happen to be walking around inside it. And you can throw it away. You know, when it's finished, you just throw it away. And you don't get another one. That is liberation. But getting that liberation is also by Tivrena Bhakti Yogina. Intense, let's use the word intense. Because actually, it's a metaphor. It's not literal. Bhakti is not sharp. It's not flat. It's not round. It's not a physical thing. So how do we talk bhakti is sharp? That means bhakti should be intense. Put all your energy, all your enthusiasm into it. Then it is sharp. So even though you don't have any love, you have some material energy, some passion. You know, you have some passion you used all your life to chase after women when you were young, or you used that passion to chase after money, or whatever you used your passion for. Take that same passion and use it to chase after Krishna. Pure or not pure, use it. It will become pure. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Be enthusiastic about serving Krishna, whether your heart is pure or not, and then your heart will become pure. That's Rupa Goswami's process. That's Narada Muni's process. Don't wait until you become perfect. Engage vigorously in Krishna's service right now, and your life will become perfect in the most effective way. So if you're Hiranyaksha, his method is to fight with Krishna and get killed. Doesn't take much time. Quick process. But not recommended for the rest of us. Don't try it. If you come out and say, I hate this Krishna, you know, he's cheating so many people, just like sometimes Sindhi businessmen, they say, don't give your money to Krishna, he'll cheat you. Yeah. Some people in the West, Pakistan, some places, they say, don't give offerings to Krishna, he's a cheat. So if you come out with that attitude, it's not that Krishna's going to come and challenge you to fight and cut your head off with his Sudarshan Chakra. He'll just kick you away and Maya will take your life over. So we can't imitate the demons. We won't become big demons, we'll become very small demons of no importance. That's not the recommended process. It doesn't work for us. You know, it's not appropriate for Hiranyaksha, but not for us. We have to worship Krishna Anukulina, Krishna Anushilana. We have to practice devotional service Krishna's way, the way that he likes it, not to fight with him, but to cooperate with him. If we don't have pure love, at least let's try to cooperate. Stop rebelling and be law-abiding. If we can't be loving, let us at least be lawful, peaceful citizens of Krishna's universe. Then Krishna will be happy with us. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop here. Any questions or comments?
First, I want to ask about Krishna. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he told Arjuna to reject Bhishma, like Guru, because he, you know, when happened with Draupadi, he didn't say anything. And in the battlefield now.
Did Krishna actually tell Arjuna to reject Drona?
Okay, but, yeah.
Okay, I don't know about that.
No, I mean, yeah, Prabhupada is telling.
He said that, yeah?
Guru become attached to the.
Okay, yes. Yeah, he should fight with him.
Yeah, his behavior when it's Draupadi, you know, it's not Draupadi. So,
yes.
And here in the battlefield, he is fighting, you know, this Krishna, and Krishna is not a liar. And we accept him like Mahajan.
Yes, we accept him as Mahajan. So, Krishna accepts him as his the Pandavas never rejected Bhishma. To the very end, he was their loving uncle, granduncle. When Yudhishthir was ready to begin the battle, he got off his chariot, walked over to Bhishma, you know, unarmed, and asked him, bowed down to him and asked permission to begin the fight. Because Bhishma was his guru, and he never rejected him as guru. Even though, here's the situation, the guru and the shishya have to fight each other in the battle. But the relationship was not broken. Never was broken. The loving relationship between Bhishma and Krishna, between Bhishma and the Pandavas, was never destroyed, never ruined. That love was always maintained, and the respect. Even though they had to fight. This was the problem that Duryodhana saw. How is Bhishma going to kill the Pandavas? He loves them too much. He didn't trust that Bhishma would actually kill them. But Bhishma had a promise to Duryodhana. Yes, I will kill them. I promise you. I have these five weapons. I will use them tomorrow. And either I will kill Arjuna. At least I'll kill one of them. I'll kill Arjuna, or else Krishna will try to kill me. I'll make Krishna break. If I don't keep this promise, Krishna will have to break his promise. Now, why did Bhishma have to say that? Because Duryodhana was thinking that Bhishma loved the Pandavas too much and didn't really want to kill them. So that loving relationship, respectful relationship was always there, even in the midst of, even during the battle. Okay, so Krishna didn't tell Arjuna to reject Bhima. He told him, Bhishma, he told him, you have to kill him. Yeah. Not that you have to hate him or reject him, but you have to kill him. Well, why is Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu fighting with Krishna? They're also his devotees.
Yeah,
this is Krishna's leela. Well, Bhishma was always... many acharyas give the explanation, although mostly from the other sampradayas, that Bhishma was also... when on the battlefield, he was infected by Asura Bhava. Yeah. That you know. Okay, he got on the battlefield because of politics. He was obliged to Duryodhana. He was trapped. Because Duryodhana maintained him, he was working as Duryodhana's employee, he had to fight for Duryodhana. But once he was on the battlefield, at least some acharyas say that he became infected by demoniac spirit in the heat of the battle. And he started fighting like a demon. But I don't know if our Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas agree with that. I don't think they agree. The other sampradayas say that. That Bhishma became a demon on the battlefield or infected with the demonic spirit. Not even that. We don't agree with that. I don't know. Maybe someplace somebody says that. Even Jiva Goswami maybe sometimes says something like that. But I don't think so. It doesn't have to be. The Krishna and his loving devotees can enjoy a fight also. Bhishma wanted to see Krishna come and attack him. That was the one thing he wanted to see most in the whole world. Yeah. He remembered the gopis in the rasa dance at the end of his life. He remembered that. But that's not his rasa. He says, oh yes, these gopis are so great that they were, when Krishna left them in the battlefield, in the rasa lila, they were becoming so crazy they were imitating Krishna. And he was remembering that just before he left his body. But that was not his sthayi bhava. These gopis are greater than me. I'm glorifying them. But his own sthayi bhava was to see Krishna with that wheel in his hand trying to kill him, with blood all over his body. That is his sthayi bhava. That's how he wants to see Krishna eternally. So what can Krishna do? If the devotee wants that, then Krishna has to fight with the devotee. And he has to arrange for Bhishma to be removed from this world. How will Bhishma be taken back to the spiritual world? Only Arjuna can kill him. Only Arjuna, who was trained up by Bhishma to be the greatest archer, he's the only one who can kill Bhishma. Nobody else can. Krishna's not going to do it. Krishna will scare him, you know, shake a wheel at him, but he's not going to kill Bhishma. But Arjuna was the only one who could do it. And Shikha, with the help of Shikhati. Yes? Only in a very rare case. If Krishna, you know, wants you to do that, what can you do what Krishna wants? But that's very rare. Very rare. They're even gonna fight with you, guru. Yeah.
Sometimes someone can ask.
You fight with Krishna?
No, Vishnu is the one.
Yeah, but we don't do just what they do. We have to do what they teach.
Yeah.
You want?
Sometimes.
Yeah, you want to be like Bhishma, then you become first Naishtika Brahmachari. Take a vow never to have any relationship with women. Then you get powerful like Bhishma.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you follow all the principles of religion your whole life for 100 years. Then you can fight with Krishna.
Sometimes same procedure we have this thing before we have marriage, you know? How is the Mahajana, how you feel like this, and you can do it like this.
Somebody else can do also, but he has to be that, he has to have the same qualification. You know? Okay, we can have Bhagavat Saptaha, but the speaker of Bhagavat Saptaha should be as qualified as Shukadeva Goswami. Otherwise he's a cheater. And you can fight with Krishna, but you have to be qualified like Bhishma Dev if you want to do that. You want to follow in the footsteps of Bhishma and fight with Krishna? Okay, but you must be trained up and become qualified, then you can do it. That rasa is there. Someone else may also want to enter that wrestling. But you must do it properly. Kunti Devi was complaining all the time to Krishna. So she wasn't fighting with him, but she was fighting with him mentally. Krishna, why do you do all these things to us? Always complaining. So she was qualified to complain, to fight verbally with Krishna, or complain. But you cannot imitate that. Yeah. Okay. So thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.